New file. Okay, here we go. Today, I thought, I think Eugene Sam asked about different kinds of heating up stuff on Shabbos with liquids. As you can see, I've got all my paraphernalia ready. We're raring to go. Okay, so we're going to talk about that on Shabbos. What are the ramifications? We're going to talk about that right now, vis-a-vis about Shabbos. Okay? What are the ramifications of heating things up on Shabbos, or preparing things with hot liquid, with hot water? Okay, what examples would you have? For example, let's say I wanted to make a glass of tea. Okay, can I do that on Shabbos? Is there a way to do that, to make a glass of tea that's proper on Shabbos? Is there an improper way to make a glass of tea on Shabbos? And what's that?
Yes.
You know where I'm going, right?
More important with that coffee.
What about? Oh, I got coffee over there.
Okay, I'll
pass up the coffee.
Oh, that's a difference. Oh well. You didn't bring that.
Taste report.
What's that?
Coffee.
I didn't bring a
same coffee.
Single would be the same as the tea. Correct. This is going to be interesting. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Can I make coffee? Aviva asked about. You're Aviva.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You asked about soup.
Yeah.
Right? About those who reconstituted soup.
And about also
oatmeal. Oatmeal, we're not going to talk about today. Okay?
You can't eat oatmeal.
Well, we'll talk about the oatmeal, you know, a little later on. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the first thing we have to do is learn some sources, as we always do. Okay? And then we'll talk. Anybody else have any stuff that they that they want me to bring up when it comes to this issue about heating stuff up? And you're going to find that it comes into play more often than you realize in things that we do on Shabbos just by everyday life. Okay. Okay. First thing you have to ask yourself is, what type of heat is not permitted to use on Shabbos? What type of heat? What direct source of heat?
A direct source?
I'll give you an example.
An uncovered flame.
I'll give you an example. Today, I'm in One Stop, and if you look, when you walk into One Stop, they have this new product. Did you notice this product?
No.
Well, right when you walk in, right? First of all, you have to notice the container looks unbelievably small. Right?
That's it.
That's it?
I didn't get page two.
Yes, you did. Okay. Right when you walk in, you'll notice that they have this little container that if you take off the cover and you pour in salt water, it has a chemical reaction. And that chemical reaction, I don't know how hot it gets. Have you ever seen it?
Real hot.
No, but I know they use
it. It's MRE, right?
Yeah, it's like an MRE.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. So can you use that on Shabbos? Can I mix the salt water in order to create a chemical reaction and create a sense of heat on Shabbos? Can I use one of those? What do you think?
No. This can make the salt water.
What? Oh, you can make salt water. It's cool salt water.
Okay.
Why can't I mix salt and water?
Well, if you
want to
get it
really... You're heating it up. You're cooking it.
You're... Oh, you need to heat it? No, mix it around. Well, we're going to talk about that. Can I mix heat? Can I mix salt in hot water? That's what seems to be. Okay. So the first thing you have to know is there's something called Eish, which is fire. Okay? Eish is meaning any source of heat that's hotter than, what's the temperature? What do we call it?
130.
Yatzel Edispo, correct. Yatzel Edispo means is it that the hand recoils or boils, burns from it. That's Yatzel Edispo.
I'm not being a wise guy. I don't have fuel in the end of my
head. It's machlokes. So the minimum, I think, they say is 110. I think 116 degrees. How hot is 116 degrees?
Pretty hot.
No, not that hot. Not that hot. Your tea is much hotter than that.
Yeah, but if your body temperature is not here, it's going to be... You can't just keep your finger in...
You try it. You can. That's much hotter than 116. If you put a thermometer in there, that's much, much hotter. Okay. So you have to remember that. That's the actual lettuce, though. So I think this chemical thing will also be a heat source. So then there's H, and there's something called Toldas Ha'esh. Toldas Ha'esh would be what we would call a secondary heat source. Okay? And Toldas Ha'esh. A Tolda is a derivative, a secondary heat source. And the Toldas Ha'esh, just like the fire itself, you can't cook with a heat source. You also can't cook with a secondary heat source. Can somebody give me an example of a Toldas Ha'esh? Anyone? Anyone? No? No one?
Bluff.
No, no, no. The bluff. What? The bluff is not until the sage because the bluff just covers the fire. What would be a second? What?
Boiler? Where you have the water, where you have the pad on top of the water, water in there, and then the heat from that? Would that be a secondary?
Closer, but that's still on the heat. It's still on the fire. A secondary heat source. No, no. A secondary heat source would be where I warmed up something, took it off the fire. Now, it's not a heat source itself, but it's you're using it. Let's say I took a brick and stuck it on the fire. Okay? Then I pulled the brick off the fire. Can I cook on that brick?
No.
Could I theoretically cook on that brick? Yeah. So you're not allowed to on Shabbos. Okay? That's the second. We're going to see, how do I know? Let's look at the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah from chapter 3 of Shabbos. So these are all, by the way, Mishnahs. The Gemara has very little to say about these topics. You notice that? You have more. Okay? The Gemara has very little to say about these topics because they're really very much cut and dry in the Mishnah. The discussion comes in much more in much more involvement when we come to discuss, you know, the details. But the basic principles are given in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ein nosenin beitza b'tzad ha-mecham b'shvil t'tzgalgel. Okay, you can't put an egg next to the heater b'shvil t'tzgalgel. What does t'tzgalgel mean? The galgal? To roll, right? How do you know if a hard-boiled egg, an egg is hard-boiled?
If it's wrong.
You ever spin it?
Yeah
you just spin it.
If it spins and
right.
It doesn't spin,
that's right.
Lopsided.
Correct. V'lo yashki ena b'tzudarim. And you can't crack it with a scarf. Meaning, what they would do is they would take a scarf, I guess this is some gourmet way of making an egg, and they would stick it in a hot water or a hot something or other until the cloth became very hot, and then they would take the egg and they would immediately crack the egg onto that hot scarf. What do you get?
Soft-boiled egg?
Yeah, very soft-boiled egg. But how long does it take to cook an egg?
Nothing.
Almost nothing. Okay? Right. So Rabbi Yossi mounts it. Rabbi Yossi allows that. Says v'lo yatminena b'chol uva'avak drachim b'shvil shetitzvaleh. Well, may not bury it in the sand or the dust of the roads so that it'll be roasted. Meaning, let's say you're in the middle of Babylonia in the desert, right? And you want to say, I don't have any food to eat. I really like an egg, so I'm not cooking the egg. I'm going to put it outside in 120 degree heat for a couple hours, and before you know it, it'll be cooked enough to eat.
The sidewalk is hot enough.
Right? Can you fry an egg? That's the question. Can you fry an egg on the sidewalk? So the answer is
no.
What? Has anybody ever seen it done?
Yes.
Does it work?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. We did it in front of our building in New York.
A blacktop, though.
What?
Blacktop?
No, on the sidewalk. We got so sick of hearing the news saying it's hot enough to crack an egg. We did it in front of the United Synagogue of America. The egg cooked.
Really?
Yes.
The dog ate it. Okay, very good. Fine. So you're not allowed to. Now, there's something else called Toldos Hachama. Where's the Chama? The sun. Right, so the Chazal said, just like the Toldos Ha'esh, the derivative of fire is forbidden, so to Toldos HaChama, the derivative of the sun is also forbidden. If theoretically you wanted to warm something up in the sun itself, are you allowed to do that? That you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Let's say I took a cup of water and I wanted to warm it up in the desert heat in Iraq. It's 120 degrees.
Oh.
That you can just leave it in the sun and you're allowed to warm things up. The sun itself, the rabbis did not forbid you from doing. Now in Michigan, this has no practical ramification whatsoever. Okay? But it's just it's good to know. Next. There's a story that happened to the people of Tveria. They brought a pipe of cold water into a channel of hot water. Think of what they did. What did they do? Remember, they're in Tveria. What did they have in Tveria? Hot springs. How did they get the hot springs?
Natural.
Natural, right? From the heat of the earth. So now, the question was, in Tveria, could they cook something? Could they warm up water in Tveria using the hot springs of Tveria? Answer is?
No.
No. Again, this is a secondary heat source. The water itself isn't hot in and of itself. What's the heat source? The earth. The earth heats up the water, and then the water is going to heat up other water. So they were very smart. They ran piping systems through the hot springs, and that's how they had hot water, the original hot water heaters. Okay, very, very smart. So, Amun Lehem Chachamim. So the rabbi said, Im b'Shabbos, if it's Shabbos, kechamim shehucham u'b'Shabbos, arsurim b'rechitza u'b'shtiyah. If it's on Shabbos and the water is running through it on Shabbos, it's like you heated up water on Shabbos and one is forbidden that you can use it on Shabbos. Okay,
isn't that going constantly though? Not something that you're doing specifically.
Well, they had to have a.
It's going constantly.
They had to have a reservoir. No, what I'm sure what they had was they had a reservoir of water, okay, that they pumped up to the top or they drew somehow to the top. Right, they had a wheel or whatever, and that water was in the reservoir, and then what would happen is they had a whole pipe system running through the hot water, and then at the end of the pipe system, they had a spigot. Okay? When you open the spigot, what do you get?
Hot water.
What happens when you open the spigot?
You get hot water.
Thank you. Not only do you get hot water, what happens also?
By gravity, but that's gravity.
But what's happening now? What's happening now? Right, you're now entering more cold water into the hot water system.
Oh, so therefore, like in Israel, you could not use a Dut Shemesh.
A Dut Shemesh is different under different circumstances, right?
It was up on the roof.
But that's a member of the Chama, of the sun.
Oh.
So a little bit different, but usually you're not allowed to use a Dut Shemesh in Israel, unless it's under extreme circumstances, but I don't want to get into that today. But here, let's say our hot water system. Why can't I use my hot water? You say, Rabbi, if I look at my hot water, right, the hot water is already warm before Shabbos. So how come I can't use it? There's a very simple reason.
Because cold water is...
Because as soon as you turn on the hot water, the cold water is now entering and you're forcing more cold water into the system. Now, it's interesting. I was in an apartment once, somebody's apartment in New York City, and she left her hot water on from before Shabbos. You know why? One simple reason. She didn't pay the water bill.
Right.
She lives in the She lives in an apartment. In the Heights. Anybody ever live in Washington Heights?
Yeah.
Yeah. You did, right? So what did you do for heat in Washington Heights? So that was so hot in there. You'd have to open the windows. It was unbelievably hot. Yeah. That's the way it was for us. So she didn't care. She just left the water on, and then she had hot water on Friday night. You can turn it off, but you're not allowed to turn it on, because then you're entering water from beforehand. Also, in an apartment building, the system is so big. But, oh, I don't know. Her prospect said it wouldn't make a difference. So now, if somebody... Aviva doesn't like that.
She didn't pay her bill?
No, you don't pay hot water.
Oh.
It's included in the price. That's why she left it on.
But don't you get into a kind of a moral ethical...
I thought so.
Yeah, that's what
I thought so. She didn't think so.
I'm not arguing, but I'm asking this.
I thought so, yes.
That sounds very immoral.
Very racist. What do you mean immoral?
Unethical.
Why?
Waste?
What's the definition of waste?
Someone's paying for it.
If I wanted to leave my faucets on, I rent an apartment, I want to leave them on all day. Don't I have the right to do that?
You have the right to do it, but do you
have the right to, but what would you gain from it? All that water is going right down into...
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, it is a recyclable water system.
Right.
You're not wasting water. Everybody's talking about wasting water. But it really means when you tell your kids, turn the faucet off because you're wasting water, is you're wasting my money.
Right.
You're not wasting your water. That's what we really mean.
Getting the last water bill, here we go.
There you go, right.
You
want to
do it in Israel.
What?
You don't want to do it in Israel.
No, it's all recyclable. It's all recycled. You're not wasting. It's all going back into the same system, and they're going to pump it right back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Water leaves the system when you're... the question is, do they have enough water in the system, in the fresh water system?
Yeah.
All right. So you want to do it as well. She didn't mind. The question really is it an ethical issue if you have the right to do it in the first place. It's included in your lease. You know, plus, she wasn't doing it for nothing. She was doing it so she could wash dishes on Friday night. She turned it off Friday night. So it was a couple hours of water. Yeah, I think you're right.
What about a radiator?
They're very hot. You could cook on that?
Can you cook on that?
You could probably leave something on there if it didn't get the yazzo lettuce though. But as soon as it did, it would become like a heater kind of thing. You couldn't put... Well, we'll talk about what kind of food you could put on there. Okay? So again, all these things you're right are told us to ace. That is actually the ace itself. Why? Well, that is now... Again, that's very good. That's a derivative of the fire. Correct. Very good. You're absolutely correct. So in that case, what we say, the derivative of the fire is equally prohibited. Sorry, no can do. So you see over here, I have two types of fire. If you look over there, I have a burner, and I have also an urn. Both of those are regular fire, and I could not put food on those on Shabbos because that would be cooking. Okay? By the way, is cooking apply only to food? What if I put wax in that water? Would that violate Bissell? What if I put a candle in there and it melted? Yeah, you violate Bishul. Bishul applies, cooking applies to anything. Any substance, if you change the substance by through heat, then you cooked it. And that is prohibited on Shabbos. Okay, next. Says the Mishnah. Oh, so let's just look at the Shulchan. All right, turn to page 2 for a second.
So you could not use the top of the urn.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't say that. For what?
For example,
No. I didn't say that. I did not say that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what types of heat are prohibited to use to warm things up on Shabbos. And the answer is? Any type heat. Pretty much any type heat. Direct heat or indirect heat. We're going to talk about indirect heat in a little bit.
Oh, so what you're talking about, you mean like in the urn to put water
what
into
if I would,
the urn?
Yeah, put water into the urn. That would be prohibited. Correct. What if I would, you know, okay, so what would be indirect heat over there? If I were to take that pot off of the fire and put an egg in it, what would I get?
Hard-boiled.
I don't get a soft-boiled egg. I don't think it'd be hard-boiled. But would it cook?
Yes.
So that derivative is prohibited just like it was on the fire itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. As long as that's what we should be clear about. Okay? So look at Gimel, Shulchan Aruch, source number 2 on page 2. Kishem she'asur levashel ba'or, just as one is prohibited to cook in the fire, asur levashel betoldav ha'or. See the fire where it says that? And the derivative, toldav ha'or, is the derivative of the fire. Kagon, for example, litein beitza betzad kidera, to put an egg next to a pot, O mishabra al shudar shulchan ba'or kadesha tichleh. Or unless I wanted to crack it on a handkerchief. Now, I've never seen anybody actually do this, but it sounds like something that they used to do. That's how they would cook. It is interesting to note that in, I think, Arabic countries, they do cook on a sort of like cooking cloth sort of thing. It's also, I just bought this thing. There's like a cookie sheet now that you can buy. It's like a very...
Silpat?
What?
Silpat.
Silpat. What is that?
It's silicone. It's a silicone derivative that prevents things from sticking to it.
Correct. Yeah. Right. It's like a cookie sheet that bends, basically.
Right.
So they probably had that kind of thing also. That's just the way they cook. Now, by the way, where does the Shulchan Aruch, where does Rabbi Yosef Karo get his examples from? You notice? Are they familiar to you at all? They should be somewhat familiar. Where do you get examples from? The Mishnah. He's just quoting the Mishnah, which is very interesting. You find that very often. V'afilu b'toledes chama, even a derivative of the sun. To go besudas ruchan bechama asur, like a handkerchief that was warmed in the sun is forbidden. Gzeira atu toledet taor. It is a gzeira. It is a decree that maybe that will come to you as a derivative of the fire. Okay. V'chein asur. It's furthermore it's forbidden. L'hatamina bechol o be'avak drachim shuruchem ibvach chacham. You're not allowed to dig something into their sand in order to warm it up either. Aval bechama atzma. But in the sun itself. To go mitain beita bechama, to put an egg in the sun, or mitain mayim bechama kadesh yechamu, put water in the sun, that's mutar. Okay, good. So we've just established, that derivatives of heat are prohibited just like heat itself. Okay? So if that's the case, you'll say, hey, Rabbi, how am I ever supposed to make a cup of tea? You just told me any derivative of the heat is prohibited. So, no tea on Shabbos anymore. Right? Sorry. Now we come to the question of what about derivatives of derivatives? So now, first derivatives are prohibited under all circumstances. What about a secondary derivative or a third derivative? What are the ramifications of that? Now, it's important to clarify, especially for Eddie. Okay, because we go through this every week, and it's important to clarify. I hope you don't mind me singling you out.
It's fine.
Good. Again, it's not the result. Okay? Very often, the rabbis decreed against the certain process, a way of doing it. So, example, like we said, it wasn't separating your peanuts and raisins from last week that was the problem. It was a question of how and when you did it. Okay? So this is the same. For example, if I have a derivative that's... see, could you do me a favor, just make sure that's not going to boil out, maybe it comes down? Yeah. Okay? Yeah, the only problem is figuring out which way to turn it.
Just take some water.
Yeah, that'll work. That's what I would
do. That better be how and I need it.
Do you need it?
No. Okay. Later on today. Okay, so says the Mishnah. Turn back to page 1, please. Okay, actually, Aviva, you can stand over there, and you can be our
demonstrator.
Yeah, our demonstrator. Okay. Hamecham shepinehu. Okay. Let's say I had a boiler that was removed from the fire. Go ahead, Aviva. Thank you. See everybody see that? She took a hot pot off the fire. Lo yitein l'tochot sonin b'sfil sheyichamu. So you cannot now take cold water and pour it in there. Why? Because I want more hot water.
Right.
Makes sense. That's it. You're done. Thank you. Okay. Actually, aval notein hu v'tocho o l'toch hakos kedei l'hashiran. But I can take that water and put it into a cold cup in order to make that cup of water lukewarm. So therefore, I have a cup of cold water. I don't want it to be cold. What do I want? What do I do?
You take the hot water, putting it into the cold water.
Into the cold water. Now, what can't I do? Tell me if anybody ever done this. Okay? This is an interesting question. I have a bowl of soup.
Ice cube.
Why would you want to put an ice cube in soup?
Too hot.
To cool it down.
Right. Hold on. So you definitely, what can't you do? You definitely can't put the ice right into the pot. Right into the pot, because the pot is what do we call the pot? A kli rishon. Kli rishon means a first kli. Okay? So the two things that I've even showed us, you just showed us two things. One was a kli rishon al ha'esh, a kli rishon on the fire, and the other one was a kli rishon shalo al ha'esh. What is the practical ramifications of the kli rishon al ha'esh or lo al ha'esh vis-a-vis cooking? Very minimal, meaning there's almost no difference between a kli rishon on the fire and a kli rishon not on the fire. Almost anything will cook in the kli rishon, no matter what. And therefore, even if I wanted to put coffee grinds in the kli rishon, I would not be permitted to do it because it immediately cooks it. Now, these coffee grinds, by the way, are different. That's not technically true in this case. Why is this coffee grind different?
Because it's already been cooked.
Correct. Well, no, that's not true. Meaning if I wanted to put salt, well, salt's not a good example either. Anybody got any chives over there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are chives.
Oh, it's chives. Thank you. Okay.
Gourmet cook.
Thanks. It's amazing that you just haven't had chives. You know what I mean? These chives are not cooked. They're dried. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let's assume that they're not cooked. If I take these chives and I pour them into the water, even though let's say they just dissolve,
they won't dissolve.
The chives won't? They got pepper over there?
No.
Pepper doesn't dissolve.
What do you have?
Cayenne pepper.
Cayenne pepper. Okay. This will dissolve. The cayenne pepper will dissolve.
But you referred to it dissolving.
What does that mean?
It's not actually dissolving. Dissolving means it's dispersed.
Yeah.
Like sugar or salt.
Right.
That's the...
Sugar's an excellent example. Is sugar processed? Is sugar cooked?
Yes, it is.
I don't know. They must also be cooked.
It's a liquid.
Just give me something that hasn't been cooked, theoretically. Pepper. Let's assume pepper. Pepper hasn't been cooked. If I put it in there, and we're going to see it's true for a lot of other things also, for kli-shani, we'll see also too. Kli-shani for sure. But if I put it in a kli-rishon, it will cook anything. Something that's not previously cooked will automatically be cooked, and therefore one may not put it in a kli-rishon at all. Okay.
Well, that will be regular coffee, the coffee that you have to percolate coffee.
Right.
It's not cooked, and it's ground up, and it will dissolve, but it's not. But you're cooking it.
Very good. Okay. And yeah, in Europe, they have one of these little percolators, not the ones that you do in the
cans. No, cup that has a filter in it. You pour water over.
Right. So then, if I'm pouring from my kli rishon, we're going to talk about what that means, kli rishon, not pouring, that kli rishon has the power to cook. So you would be violating Bishol, Midoraita, serious Bishol. Bad. So don't do that. Yeah, Steve had a question. No? Okay.
Wait a minute. If it's in a filter, in a little cup that you sit on top of it, you pour the water, you're pouring it from the kli rishon into a sheni.
Uh-huh.
And it's dripping into a shlishi.
Uh-huh.
That would not be violated because you're not putting the grounds.
We didn't get the kli sheni yet.
Okay, but you're not putting the grounds into the kli rishon.
But the water that you're putting through is a first derivative.
Well, let's see.
I haven't touched another
kli yet. Well, yeah, she's right. It touched a kli sheni.
No, it's
in a kli sheni. And then she's going to pour it.
Right.
Into a kli, well, the
you're
thing
not
itself,
putting the grounds into there. If you put the grounds
right,
directly into the grounds.
Here's the grounds.
Right.
Here's the grounds. But if the grounds,
the
grounds lie, the grounds lie, meaning in a regular coffee maker, yeah, the grounds are at the bottom of this cup, right? So when I pour into this cup, I'm pouring it directly onto the ground. That is what you meant.
Yes. In a bowl, yes. But what I'm saying is, wouldn't that this become considered a
no, because you're pouring it right onto it. You're pouring it directly on it. That would be called, we'll talk about that, Iroi Kli Rishon. Okay? Iroi means, means to pour. Pouring with Kli Rishon. Yeah. Steve?
My parents have this. You have your cup.
Yeah.
Like a thing. You go on top of it, and that's where you put your...
That's what we're talking about.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
With the coffee in it.
Yeah.
No,
it wouldn't be a kli sheni.
No,
no. Because remember,
exactly
this
that.
Thing, yeah, it's a kli sheni, that's true, but you're pouring the coffee, you're pouring the hot water directly onto the coffee before it hits the kli sheni.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's beautiful.
You with me here? here, this is your thing, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Where do the grinds go in? Grinds go in.
In
here. Right? So now I take my water, and I'm pouring it in, and it's going to drip down into here.
All right.
Okay? Where am I pouring the water? Directly onto there, right? This is my kli rishon. If this is a kli rishon, I'm pouring it right onto the kli, right onto the water. That's not kli sheni. That's called iruy kli rishon. Okay? You're a half step back. What? Okay. But we're ahead of ourselves, as always. Okay, let's look at the Mishnah. Hamecham shepinehu. So I took this hot pot off of the fire. Lo yitein v'tochot tzonein b'shvil sheyechamu. Don't put cold water in to warm it up. Aval noten hu l'tocho or l'tochakos k'dei l'hashiran. But I can put a little bit of cold water into the hot water, into the hot water into the cold water to warm up the temperature. That I'm allowed to do. Okay? Ha'ilvas v'hakadei v'shehaviran merutachin. The stew pot and the pot that he removed boiling. Lo yitein v'tochon tavlin. Don't put spices in there. Don't put chives in there. Okay? Aval noten hu l'tocha ka'ara o l'tocha tamchoy. But you can put spices, this is only in the Mishnah, we have to get this clear. You can put the spices in the tamchoy or the ka'ara. What's a ka'ara?
A dish.
A bowl. Okay? So now I have my soup. Well, this is in the Mishnah sign. I have my soup. I took my soup and I put it into a tureen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What's that tureen called now in halachic terms? Mm-hmm. A kli sheni. A secondary kli. Okay, so the Mishnah says I could not put the spices, the chives, or whatever it was, in the cooking vessel, but in the secondary vessel I could. Okay, this is in the Mishnah time. We're going to see that we can't do this today. Yes.
What is the ladle considered? Isn't the ladle considered?
Excellent question. Do you notice the ladle sitting in front of you?
Yes, I do.
We will talk about it. Okay.
Would that be considered kli sheni? And the bowl considered kli sheni, and that's why you can put pepper in it.
What are you talking about, pepper?
I'm talking about pepper.
Uh-huh.
You could not put into a kli rishon, but you can put pepper into a kli shlishi.
Why can't I put it in a kli sheni? The Mishnah just said I could put it in a kli sheni. Oh, no, we're ahead of ourselves. No, we'll see in a second why not.
In the time of the Mishnah, you could.
What?
In the time of the Mishnah, you could.
Well, but not really.
You pour from a pot into a bowl, using a ladle.
Correct. So what's the problem with the ladle? Here, Aviva, go demonstrate. Take a cup. You can demonstrate for us. Take a cup and ladle out. Here, Aviva's now going to ladle out soup, okay?
Okay.
Well, one second. No, she's going to ladle out soup, okay? Stop. What are you going to do? Stop. 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 Stop ladling. Stop ladling. Pretend you're done. Good. Very good. Stop. See what she just did?
Yes.
Really?
She, what? Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no.
So,
okay. Well, we're not up to that yet. Sometimes the ladle acts as a machlokas. Okay? We're going to see. They talked about it. It's called a kaf. Problem is, the ladle, some posts can feel that it really, because you're immersing it into the pot itself, so then it takes on the heat of that kli. Okay? So we're going to see the ladle isn't your best answer. Isn't, not really. What? Okay.
Was that
from
something?
It was in 12th grade? Which rabbi said it was?
I shouldn't say
on. No, you could. No, you
for
could.
For all posterity.
You could.
Are you
all right? Yeah, I mean, because it's a machlokes, really. It's not, he's definitely correct. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Okay. Let's look. So there's one more piece of information you need. Okay? So the Mishnah seems to say, Kli Rishon is Mevashel. Kli Sheni?
It's not.
Not Mevashel. What about Iroi Kli Rishon?
It's Mevashel.
Is it Mevashel or is it not? Now actually, this has great ramifications for Kasha's questions. Great, great ramifications for Kasha's questions. What do I mean? Kli Rishon is Mevashel. Say, Rabbi, I actually put my milchik cheese into my boiling macaroni. My fleishig, my fleishig meat sauce. Okay? You're in big trouble. I don't know why you put milk and cheese in your fleishig meat sauce. Okay? Yeah, that's a problem. So now you say, well, here's another question. Let's say this is one of my china, right? And instead of putting coffee bits in it, into my coffee, I put milk into it. Is that milk? Did that make my coffee trace or not? So what's the question?
Is that the initial?
Is this kli rishon? Is it kli sheni? Is it kli shlishi? That's a very important question, because halachically the same attributes that apply for Shabbos also apply for a basa b'chalav as well. Very often we'll take those rules and we'll apply them. For example, you'll call me and say, you know, I was washing my dishes. Very often you'll say this will happen. You're washing your dishes, and I don't know, I'm washing my shleishik spoon and with my milchik stuff. Okay? So the first thing the rabbi will ask you, or should ask you, is, well, was there be'en, was there real milk in the sink or not? Why? Because now you're dealing with a case called iuri, where assuming it's pouring from a kli rishon, iuri kli rishon, and you have to know what the parameters are that you're dealing with in order to ascertain what the halachic outcome would be. Okay, let's move on. We're getting a little too technical, and we need to do more fun stuff. Next thing. So now,
this is fun.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead. We're having fun.
Okay, bottom line is, though, from the Mishnah, kli rishon, does it cook or not?
Yes.
Yes. Kli sheni?
No.
No. Good. Except, but
taken out of the kli rishon is still primary. It's still, and it's the same water, but it's in a different bowl.
Correct.
And it's still giving off the same heat.
Correct. So what did I tell Eddie?
You shouldn't be able to.
What did I tell Eddie?
It's the process.
It's the process. The rabbi himself, and he's out of Rivet in his book. He really bends over backwards trying to explain.
It really how doesn't retain the same heat because once it's cooled off.
But then why?
But no, but
the
Steve is absolutely correct. Let's say, for example, I boiled up that water to 122 degrees. Okay?
You have 15 people at your house. You have 15 people from your house sitting at a dinner table.
Yeah.
And you are serving the 15th person is going to be served out of that same pot.
Yeah.
It's going to be cooler.
Well, that's after time. That's true. No, let's say I took this pot.
Where you have all the
hold on. No, let's say I took that pot and I warmed it to 117 degrees. Okay? Can that cook? The water is yachomedipo. Can I now put my spices in that water? No. Okay? Now let's say I took another pot of water and warmed it to 250 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then I poured it into this cup. Mm-hmm. How hot is the water?
240 degrees.
Okay? Could I put spices in there?
No. Yes.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
That's because a klisheni, and that's a kli rishon. It is irrespective of the heat of the water.
But then... What, then
no, it's not.
I said that one just for you.
But that's the same as then dropping the water through the Melita coffee filter.
No. Why would that be the same?
It's directly on. Here it's the same liquid.
No, I poured it into a different cup. Right. As soon as you put it into another kli, it has a different halachic status. It changes the halachic status of the water. Okay? The kli was what affects the halachic status of the water, not the temperature of the water. That's the rabbi. That's what the rabbi said. That's just the way it is.
Now, the question, like you told it, with the hot, can you put that, if you piled onto the pot
yes.
the whole time, you
right.
poured some in the cup, can you put it back on the heating element?
Could I put that pot back on the heating element? Everybody tell me, could I put that hat based on what we learned? Could I put that pot?
If you held on to it,
it's a good question. There's no blech on there.
Right.
So then I put that. That actually happened to us this weekend. What happened? We put up soup. I mean, you know, it happens every day. Put up soup in the crock pot for Shabbos day with the intention of having some Friday night and putting it back. Only one problem. We forgot to put the aluminum foil back on the line on the crock pot in the bottom. So what did we have on Friday night?
Soup.
No soup. But we wanted to save it for Shabbos day. Because if I had taken it off, even though I had in mind to put it back, I would not be allowed to. Because it wasn't covered from before Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. Okay? We learned that, last week, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago. Okay. So, there's one but, there's a however. Turn to page 2, please. Okay? Says the Mishnah, Kol Sheba Bechamin Me'erev Shabbos, Shorin Oso Bechamin B'Shabbos. Whatever comes in hot water before Shabbat, one may soak it in hot water on Shabbat. Okay, the Mishnah is saying, basically, if something was hot from before Shabbos, you can leave it in the hot water. But, Mechol Shaloba Bechamin Me'erev Shabbos, Medichin Oso Bechamin B'Shabbos. Anything, Shaloba Bechamin, whatever did not come in hot water before Shabbos, one may rinse it in hot water on Shabbos. Chutz, meaning, Medichin the hot water, meaning in a clean sheni. Chutz, meaning, Hamaliyah Chayashan, V'Dagim Meluchim Gitanim, V'Kulius Ha'ispinin. Except for an old salted dish, small salty fish, and a Spanish culias. So this rinsing, anybody know what the Spanish culias is? It's like some kind of fish or something. I don't know. Why? For this rinsing is the completion of their work. The Mishnah says the following. There are certain foods that cook just by heating them up slightly in hot water. Can somebody give an example of that?
An egg.
What?
An egg.
Possibly an egg.
Tea.
Tea. Without a doubt.
Yes.
Right? You're soaking this tea bag, these tea leaves, in hot water, undoubtedly cooks them and releases, chemically releases the taste of the tea into the water. How do I know? Because if you put it in cold water, what will happen? Nothing. Okay? These things are called kale habishul. Kale habishul means things that cook very easily. Here's the problem. We don't really know what kale habishul are anymore. So therefore, what's the problem? What do we have to do?
Make tea.
Make tea, no.
Treat everything.
You have to treat everything. Everything like kale habishul. Okay? That people doesn't look happy. That's fine. But there's a solution.
I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
What do you mean?
I'm just waiting for the next, like,
you'll do. No, you're good. You know, that was probably the worst. So therefore, these spices especially, you could say like, that they're kale habishul. It's very easy to say, especially spices are kale habishul. And this is a very common thing. So in a cliché, things that could cook easily, like spices, one may not put them in a cliché. For example, pepper. If you took your ladle, let's assume forget the ladle, because the ladle really gets you out of a lot of problems if you follow it by orders, which I think you can do, I think, b'dievet. I wouldn't do it l'chachila, but b'dievet I would do it. Okay? If you took your, unless you were careful, like you said, because some people, they really leave the ladle in there for a while. Okay, but if you make sure to keep it out, you're okay. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so let's say you took your soup and you poured it into the bowl. Chicken soup, you pour it into the bowl Friday night. Right? We do this often when we don't have a ladle or when it's dirty. Okay? That bowl of soup is now what? What kli is it?
Klisheni.
Klisheni is mevashel. It cooks. According to the Torah, it cooks things that are kale habishul. People very often will then take pepper, and the salt is already cooked, so you have a problem with salt. But pepper, and put that pepper in the soup. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay?
Unless you put it in a tureen first and then serve
correct.
It.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Unless you put it in tureen first and then serve it. Or in Aviva's case, if she was using her ladle, and later would probably get her out of it.
But if you're putting it into the tureen, it's just like if you're putting it into the soup that you've just served into a bowl.
Oh, no. She said, no, you can't put the pepper in the tureen. You can put the soup in the tureen
and then
scoop it out of that.
Into your bowl.
Okay? And I think the ladle you're okay with also. I would agree with that. But sometimes people pour it straight in. Another ramification we're going to talk about is called something called davar gush, solid foods. Solid foods, according to halacha, retain their heat. How do I know? You ever have a baked potato and you open it up and what happens? Steam comes out. Right. It retains its heat. Okay? What also retains its heat? Chalent. Very thick chalent. Retains its heat for a long time. Okay? Have you ever seen people take pepper and put it directly on their chalent? Never?
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Salt, not a problem, remember, because it's already pre-cooked. It's cooked from before. That's an issue people have to be aware of. What?
I would say it's because it dissolves versus...
Salt has been boiled up in water and been spray dried in order to get your processed table salt. That's the process of how they have table salt. If you wanted to use coarse, you know, like kosher salt, then you'd be right. Excuse me, but the way they process salt today, from what I understand, it's boiled and then spun on a big spray dryer machine.
Sauce like ketchup or a hot sauce
all
or
cooked.
Things like that.
But
already been pre-cooked,
correct.
So then that's okay.
Anything that's been pasteurized has already been cooked.
Oh,
okay, it's already cooked. What's that?
So I was thinking, what about like if you put challah or matzo or
crouton? Different problem. It is a problem. That's a problem. No, the challah and matzo, in fact, we'll see right now. Challah is a problem of, here's the issue, and we're going to learn this issue next week, okay? We have a halacha, the principle of ein bishul achar bishul. Let's say I something's already fully cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So then according to halacha, you can't cook it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's already cooked. So therefore, like I said, if I wanted to pour ketchup into my soup, could I do that?
Yeah.
It'd be gross, but I could do it in the cliché because ain't bishul achar bishul. Okay, you want to put Tabasco sauce in your soup.
Right.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, somebody did that at my house this week. Right? Because he doesn't eat salt. So he asked for hot sauce and, you know, if you can't eat salt, you need flavor.
Right?
If people can't eat salt. So they dump whatever they can in to make sure that it tastes like something. Right? So he's dumping it in. That you can do because it's already been pre-cooked. But what would you ask me about?
What would the problem be with the challah or matzah?
Oh, the question is there something called bishul achar afia? Let's say I would take, right, let's say I take, meaning is there cooking after baking? Let's say I take my challah and I mush it up, right, and I put it in the,
soup.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say I take it and I take a whole bunch of it, mush it up, and pour soup in it, and we let it sit for a while. What am I going to get?
Mush.
There's another word for that. What?
You're going to get bread pudding.
Right, what do we call that in Yiddish? What's the word?
Kugel.
Mishmash.
The word kugel means pudding. Right? I have to tell another Camp Mars story. I'm very good at fun. So, in Camp Mars, when I was a waiter, right? You never want to be a waiter. you ever waiter in a camp? Oh, good for you.
I waited in the Tesco.
Yeah.
One day.
So, they put out bread every meal. So, when they would, obviously, all the bread wouldn't be taken or whatever. So, when they would take the bread back, we would dump it all in a big box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, every time we were waiters, we were lazy, so we wouldn't go to the box and take out old bread because nobody wanted old bread. We would take out new bread. So eventually they accumulated this huge box of old bread. So you don't waste food in camp like that. So what did the cook do?
Stuffing.
He took all that bread, like pulled it apart, stuck it in a huge vat, added, a huge can of fruit, a couple of eggs, maybe a couple dozen
and
eggs,
pudding.
Right? And cooked it up.
That's right.
Now, not all this bread, shall we say, was, how shall we say?
Fresh.
Non-moldy. Right, it was seriously green bread. And he might have pulled out the really bad pieces. But he clearly wasn't that particular. No waiter ate the kugel that day. Every camper, I mean, these were older guys. They were wolfing this stuff down like there was no tomorrow. Yeah, this is the greatest stuff I ever arrived. Tell them to make it again. So don't worry, wait a couple of weeks. We'll come back. Oh, my God. We were just like, it was disgusting. What?
They have great immunity.
You know what their immunity is? What you don't know.
I'll never eat egg salad or anything like that, that I know has been made in a big vat.
Okay.
Not like movie making it.
I'll trust you.
Like
I understand. Anyway, so if I take that bread and then I put the hot water and I pour it in, can it cook again? Just a machlokas. Okay. So the repaskin that there is bishul achar afia even in the kli sheni. Take a look for a second. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Page 2.
Okay.
Now, right after Gimel, see the second paragraph. Vimu davar yavesh. If it's a dry thing, shalomi special. I mean the shnei Shabbos. Here I have a davar yavesh, dry, not cooked before Shabbos. Ein shorin oto bechamin, aval madichin oto bechamin b'Shabbos. Okay, I'm not allowed to cook it with chamin, meaning kli rishon. But madichin means ladiach, means I can wash it. You do it in the kli sheni. Chutz min hamaliach hayashan, except hamaliach hayashan, umin adav, the fish that's called kulius haspinim, the fish from the rabbi's sons. And here's the problem: v'she'en tzrichin bishul ele ma'at. They only need a little bit of cooking. V'hadachatan, he gmar melachtan. And this cooking is its finishing. Says the Ramah, Haga, v'hu hadim kol davar kasher, any hard thing. She'en ro'ay lechol klal below shriya. Also, the shvoto b'Shabbos to have a gemar melacha. What do I have here?
Soup.
I have a soup bowl. Really, I have a soup blob, right?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot eat it without putting it in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not allowed to take these and put this in a kli sheni, because that is its cooking, its preparation, and therefore it would be forbidden for me to do that on Shabbos because that would be its cooking. Okay? Mm-hmm. That would not be permitted. Now look at what the Mishnah Berurah has to say about this. Am I out to Mem Hey? 1 second. Let's get the... Okay, Hey. Yesh Misha Omer. There are those who say... You know, the hardest part of this class is I'm trying not to overwhelm you with sources. But there's a lot to know, so I'm trying to sort of boil it down. Yesh Misha Omer. Some who say... What? Boil it down? Oh, sorry. Okay. The Davar Shene'efa O Nitzla. Something that was baked, or Nitzla, roasted... In bishul achakach b'mashke, yesh bo mishum bishul. If you cooked it afterwards, meaning I had something the other day, challah, mm-hmm. and if I put it in a kli rishon, mm-hmm. then it would be bishul. Okay. The ashur became pot. I feel it be kli sheni shayad soledikro. You cannot put bread in a kli sheni. So why did I bring the matzah? I see my matzah there. What do you do on Pesach?
You take the.
You put your matzah and you put your fatal in the soup, right? Now ask me, why do we have to bring matzah in the middle of the year?
Why do you have to bring matzah?
No, somebody dropped it off. They're going to sell this at one stop next year. So great promotion. Make sure you buy conditional handmade shmur matzah kosher for Passover because we got it for Yisrael. Okay, fine, whatever. It's not bad. It tastes good. Yeah, there's only 7 ounces though. They're getting cheaper and cheaper.
Same price.
You don't mean the prices are getting
cheaper.
No.
Next year, I promise you, I'm going to send out with my Pesach guide a matzah price chart. We're going to compare and show everybody what the cheapest matzah is because it was a real ripoff this year.
Chicago matzah factory.
Yeah, this is a new one. Okay. Anyway, so you take your matzah, you crush it up, and you put it in your soup.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to do that if it's a klisheni. Okay, we're going to talk about kli sheni. What?
So you can't do it if it's kli sheni.
Kli sheni.
But it's not
yassel edepo? If it's yassel edepo. If it's not yassel edepo, then nothing cooks on the yassel edepo.
Is it what?
But any soup you're going to eat.
If it's going to cool down.
If it's below 120 degrees, you're not going to want to eat it.
Right.
Right.
You always crumple it in the slushy, so you take.
Hold on, we'll get to that. Hold on.
I'm just not to get
you. All right, so let's see. All right, look at the page three. The Mishnah rule will explain how do you do it.
I'm not going to be there for
the
next month.
You
ain't
going to
go away. I'm
going to leave
next Monday.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
You got a Friday?
Okay. Hard to know. That's another machlok because those are fried. So the question is fried like baked or like boiled?
Like boiled because
you're okay. Right. So I was going to bring the soup method. I didn't want to. That's why I got the matzah for exactly that reason. Okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah, men hey. But you see now you're seeing how intricate it is. Yeah. We have one Mishnah that says, simple, right? Klisheni, not mevasel. It's not so simple. Okay. Line one, Nagu li zahir. You have to be careful. Where are we? Li zahir l'chachila lo l'itein pat afil l'bikli sheni kol zman she'asul edepos. It says, they were careful, you have to be careful not to put bread in a kli sheni when it's boiling. Pirush. She'ah ein notnim lechem demarach shel ha. Anybody read that word for me?
Cholent.
Yeah. See that word? They had cholent in the late 1800s. It's been a minhag forever. Okay? Don't put bread in the soup of the challenge, the kiarasi klisheni, and the bowl that's a klisheni. The kol shekain, she's out here, should be certainly careful, shelo larot alehem mi kli rishon. What would they do? You put the challah in the bowl. This is how they would do it. This is, I think, when you want to make like French onion soup or something,
yeah.
Very often you take the bread, the French bread, you put it in the bowl, and you pour your soup onto the bread,
mm-hmm.
and that will melt the cheese on the bread and make a delicious soup, really wonderful. So apparently people were doing this also. They would put the challah in the bowl, and then they would pour into the bowl, and that's how they would serve it. How else would you do it? Anybody ever been served soup in a bread bowl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Same problem. If you would pour the soup directly from the pot into your little bread bowl, you ever had that? It's really good. Never had that?
So the bread becomes your
what?
Your cliche.
They used to do that, right? The soup, what do they call that place? The soup kitchen. The soup bowl. No, the soup something. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So that
right, whatever.
Soup, so that bread now, so that bread now becomes your cliche.
It does, but you also cooked it in the process. So then here you have an ironic situation in which you could eat the soup, but you couldn't eat the bread it's in.
Right, but
whatever. Well, I don't know. Okay.
So the answer is those.
Line three. The end of line three. The otam shechotzim b'tzalim. Some people cut up onions. The notim l'tocham arak b'ke'ara. They take those onions and they put them in the soup b'ke'ara when it's still in the pot, the bowl. Right, meaning the klisheni, the tureen. Lo yashimu rak achar shelo tia yad soledet b'ham arak. You have to wait until it's not yad soledet anymore. Meaning, you cannot take fresh spices and put it in the soup Or, you know, very often, you know, is a soup recipe, the gourmet recipes will tell you, you have your vegetables on the side, and you add the vegetables at the very end, because you want them just blanched. You don't want them cooked. Now, we Jews, you know, we don't worry about any of these things. But, what?
We like
right, but most non-religious Jews who don't do these things, they like their vegetables to somewhat be fresh. Crispy, right? That's how they do it, am I right? I mean, that's how you do it. You're supposed to put it in at the very end. Another thing that people sometimes do is they'll take sauce and pour it over fresh vegetables, like a little hot sauce on the vegetables. Can't do that either. That's a very serious thing. Or you'll take some lemon, you'll put it in your cup, you want to make tea, you'll pour the water over the lemon in order to get a nice lemony flavor. So all those things you should not do. Next. Line 5. Dibelechem, 1 second. Yesh kula machma shenefa kvar, even though the bread was already baked, rafilu hachim yisharim, they're still careful. Kosh you came to bachalim shesarich lizayir soma, certainly with bachal, with onions, you definitely have to be careful. Ki ein anu dikim, b'midye yinikrei rachich v'chana. We don't know what's called soft. The kosh you came to fima shenogim yitim bachal netoch hatavshil, let's say if I wanted to put the onions in a davar gush, not the soup challenge, but the challenge itself. Or I have a hot potato, and I want to add onions to it, right? Or let's say I have a frankfurter, and I want to put onions on the frankfurter. Mm-hmm. It's a very hot frankfurter. I pulled it out of the
boiler.
Thank you. Boiler. I want to put onions on it. The frankfurter is a davar gush. Like we said, it's a solid. The vadai yesh yizayir bizeh. Be careful. Do you know Kikli Rishon? Are some who hold that a Dabar Gush, a solid hamburger, hot dog, frankfurter,
is like a Kikli
Rishon? So you wanted to, let's say you wanted to make your burger on Shabbos, right? So you take your burger out, and of course, you remember they had the McDonald's? They used to take, they had the container and the onions on one side, the cold that stays cold and the hot stays hot. Am I the only one that watched TV in the
1990s?
I haven't been to McDonald's either, but you know, the cold stayed cold, the husband.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Fresh,
right, which is a total failure, but that's what they used to do, okay? So, you want to take your lettuce and put it, mama's on your hamburger. What did you just do?
Cooked it.
You really did. How do you know?
Because
it gets roast. Right, that's how you would know. Because if a hamburger is still hot, very hot, it has the ability to make it,
steam it,
to really cook it. Okay. So basically, it makes your hamburger cool down a little bit or whatever.
Or cook the onions beforehand.
Yeah, or cook the onions before, which is much tastier anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Skip down lines at 14.
In Rocha,
you can't eat lettuce anyhow. I eat lettuce. You can't check it. In Rocha, you can't eat lettuce. If you want to put in bread, Yantin ad shalo ye yad shalet ben marak. You should either wait, maybe this is for you, Aviva, or lines to 14. You take it from a calf with a ladle, right? Right. You don't have to use it.
So then the ladle is
correct. For this purpose, correct. The ladle becomes your cliche. Everybody understand? If you don't, we need a little demonstration again, please. Okay? Okay, you take your ladle. That's okay. You have a Kli Rishon, right? Where's your Kli Rishon? Not on the fire. Remember, you could not take it while it's on the fire. Okay, right? Why? Because what happens when you take it when it's on the fire?
Changes
the time. Correct. You're stirring it. So you take it off the fire, takes the water out. Up, Kli Sheni, and then into the Kli Shlishi. Now, what can I put into it?
Bread.
Anything.
Anything.
Correct. Even the things. Well, we'll see in a second. Even the things that are Kale Habishal.
Like a tea bag.
Like a tea bag. Anything. We'll see. See what you just did, interesting enough? What did you do?
I did not remember.
Okay, why?
To drive you nuts.
She left it in the pot. If you leave it in the pot, they say that's a problem. Meaning if it's really hot, you should take it out and let it cool off. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Do you use the steam? Yeah, because it's a little bit on. Yeah, come on.
I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't buy it, you know.
Those are hot cups.
Yes.
Those are not going to absorb any heat. They are not going to change the heat.
By definition, that's not true. They absorb heat. They're insulated to retain heat, but by definition, the cup absorbs some of the heat. Doesn't matter. You think they didn't use insulated? You think in the times of the Gemara, they used klicheres. They used earthenware. Anyways, the reason that we like styrofoam is because we can throw it away. The coffee mug you use retains heat much better than this.
No, I want it to retain heat because I want to take the heat out of the...
Yeah, you want it to retain it. You want it to act as an insulator.
It
does not matter what it's made of. Correct.
Right, because you're not...
Absolutely irrelevant. Correct. Doesn't matter.
Because it doesn't matter the halakhic...
Steve, had a question?
I have.
Okay, Eddie.
If I have a tea kettle on my dwelling...
Yes.
And child, and I want to make myself a cup of tea.
Ah.
Can you tell me how to do it?
Please turn to page 4. Eddie wants to make a cup of tea.
Okay.
Kli Shlishi, this is called the third vessel. A Kli Shlishi is the container into which hot food or liquid from a Kli Sheni was poured. Should be nice.
What a
nice
picture.
Okay. That's okay. There is a disagreement among poskim as to the precise halachic status of Kli Shlishi. According to some poskim, the Kli Shlishi when Yatso lettuce may be no different than Kli Sheni and should basically be classified as a lenient version of Kli Sheni. This means that one may put most foods into liquids into a Kli Shlishi, but should not put raw foods that are definitely classified as Kali Habishal into the hot Kli Shlishi. That's the Chumrah, the most stringent position. That's the position that holds that under no circumstances could you ever put a tea bag into a hot cup of water. Why? Because the halakha only determined Rishon and Sheni. Never talked about Shlishi. Never said anything. So now what is this Kli Shlishi? Is it a derivative of a Sheni, a derivative of a derivative? Or did Chazal, when they said Sheni, meant as soon as you're one step from the Kli Rishon, it doesn't matter how many steps you go away. That's the basic argument. So there is very much room to say that, you know, it's the same. And therefore, could you ever make tea in a tea with a tea bag on Shabbos if you held this?
No.
No, you would not be able to. And that's why those people, what do?
Make essence.
They make tea essence, as it were, and then they do that, and that's what they do on Shabbos. Okay?
They do what?
They make essence. Before Shabbos, they take a bunch of tea bags, they put it in hot water, and they make
a concentrate.
Right, that's exactly what it is. And then they pour it in. Now, why are they allowed to do that, to pour it in?
Because it's already been cooked.
Because it's already been cooked. The water's already been cooked.
Okay. If it's colder, if it's cold, cooler, you have to pour that into the cup first, and then you have to pour the hot water from the solution. Cold water goes in first. Hot water runs cold water.
No, the other way around.
No, cold water onto hot water.
The hot water has to be in it first.
Remember, because you don't want to do Eroi from the Kli Rishon into the stuff. Okay? But no, in the essence case, it doesn't matter because Eroi doesn't affect only for liquids. It's only for solids. Eroi is only a problem for solids. It wouldn't matter in your sense case.
Well, what about the making of a baby bottle?
And that's different because you're using the
hot water
on the formula. The formula is not wet.
Not formula. I'm talking about you put the water in first and then you put the formula in. So I'm talking about let's say you
want to
take water from the
hot water. Correct.
But you can't,
because
you don't
want to
give very cold water to a baby.
Right.
So you want to mix it. What goes in the bottle first? The hot water or the cold water?
Wait, you're putting the formula in first or just the water?
The formula goes in afterwards.
So what goes in first? The hot water?
You have hot water, cold water, and formula. Tell me the order that you put it in the bottle.
I think it doesn't matter, because you did put it into Kli Sheni, and then you could put cool water into a Kli Sheni. Also, though, remember, I just told you.
Why do you need Kli Sheni?
You don't. But you don't need a Kli Sheni, but the Eroi, remember,
okay.
It is a Kli Sheni.
Okay.
Right? Even if you put the cold water in first, you're only putting in the hot water, remember we said, to cool it off a little bit.
Right.
So it doesn't matter which way, to warm it up a little bit. It doesn't matter because it's not going to be yes or letter bill. Don't think it matters. Okay. So therefore, let's skip. Blah, blah. According to this view, one should not put a tea bag, which is classified as Kali Abishal, into a hot glass of water that is Kli Shlishi. One should also not put a raw egg into a Kli Shlishi, e.g. egg yolk used as a coffee whitener. Has anybody ever seen anybody use egg yolk?
Yes. When you're making lots and lots of coffee, we used to do this.
Put in egg yolks?
An egg white. What it does is it's the egg white, not the yolk. It clears out the...
He said egg yolk. As a whitener. Don't put a raw egg as a whitener.
Oh, no, no. What I'm saying is...
You have to use your imagination. Don't get me wrong. That's gross.
No, okay. What you do is when you put the egg white into it, when you're boiling a whole bunch of coffee, when you're making a lot of it, or when you're making a lot of tea, it causes the grounds to settle, and it coagulates, and it takes out all the impurities in the water.
Does your coffee taste like eggs?
No. Because you're skimming it all off. Remember, the egg white, the minute that you put the egg white into hot water, it cooks. And it becomes solid, but it takes all the impurities.
See, not only do you learn about the Shabbos, you learned a great way to make coffee. Okay.
Gourmet coffee. So that's why...
Last night, other posting rule that a Kli Shlishi is a different and lower grade of heat than a Kli Sheni. The Igros Moshe decided, in accordance with this lenient opinion, he ruled that a Kli Shlishi cannot cause Bishul in anything, no matter how hot it may be. Based on this decision of Yigdus Moshe on this question, one can avoid most halachic problems related to Bishul by using a kli shlishi whenever preparing hot food or drinks. Examples. Based on this ruling, one would be permitted to make tea with the tea bag and a kli shlishi. That's your answer. You take your kli sheni, Aviva, and you want to do this for us here, please? Please. That's important to see this, actually. That's why I put the urn over here. Very important to see this. Here, take this. Okay.
And use your third hand to lift the pot.
Yeah. Okay. Use the urn. The urn is a kli rishon. Okay.
This is not kli sheni.
Right. She's pouring it to water. Right. It's a kli sheni. That's a kli sheni. Okay. It's a little dirty. Sorry. Gross. Okay. Now she has a kli shlishi, and then what can she do? She can put in tea. What?
You cannot put the tea bag in.
Right, you should not put it in first. Correct. But that's correct. You should put the water in first. Or she could put in chives in her tea if she wants, for whatever reason. According to this view, one may reconstitute dehydrated soup mixes or soup bouillon cubes by adding them to a hot kli shlishi, or take the kli shlishi and pour it in here. It'll be a kli revi. You could do that, he says. Yeah, that's what he says. Some poskim, it's interesting, want to say that this is what's called makir b'patis. It's an iser of makir b'patis. What does makir b'patis mean? Hand something with a hammer. But it means you're taking something that was unusable, usable. The Mishnah Berurah says it's impossible. That this is an issue of bishul, not an issue of makir b'patis, which is why he says, see how he says something here? Some poskim advise him from maybe making these soups because the question is of makir b'patis. But the Chafetz Chaim did not feel that was an issue at all. And he felt that, he felt that you could make these soups under those circumstances. I don't know, something rubs me wrong about making these soups on Shabbos.
Are you sure that it's really those soups are just like a soup bouillon? You know, sometimes they're the packets of soup that just have...
Reconstitute dehydrated soup mixes.
What I'm talking about,
there's a crouton in there. What's the difference?
No. There are soup mixes that are just the soup.
No, he said, look, or soup bouillon cubes.
Right.
Well, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is this. If a kli shlishi...
I have a jar of the kamel soup.
Hold on. Let me finish. The bottom line is this. Well, what's the difference?
Because those have solid pieces in it. I'm talking about...
Well, one second. If a kli shlishi is not mevashel anything...
Uh-huh.
What's the difference if it's solid or liquid or dissolves or doesn't dissolve?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Gene.
Okay, I have a coffee pot.
Yes.
It's the bottom. Then put the basket in it.
Okay.
Put the paper filter.
Right.
Put the coffee grounds, fresh grounds in it.
Right.
On top of it, you put a plunger to cover it. Okay. Can you take hot water out of the urn, pour it in, let's say, in a teapot, then pour it over this?
I would say, what?
That would make it a clean.
No, I would say no, because then you're pouring it onto there. I would say pour it into a third.
You're pouring it onto a plunger that fits on top of the coffee.
You're pouring it onto the plunger?
Right, the plunger has holes in it.
Oh, I see, and then that's filtering down?
What you have there is a metal tea bowl.
Right.
It's coffee grounds in it.
Right.
Okay?
Again.
Here's the empty sink.
Right.
Here's the top of it.
Right.
What you're doing is creating a tea ball.
Yeah. In there. And the plunger goes on top of there.
Right.
And you pour it into the plunger, and then it seeps down into it.
Right.
So it sounds to me like you take it from there into a kli sheni, right? And you pour it from there into your plunger, and then it will seep down. It sounds like it should be okay, according to Reb Moshe. I don't see why it shouldn't be okay. Because again, that's kli shlishi. That would be
a kli shlishi.
We have a bottom where you put the coffee grounds on the bottom,
right?
And then you put the plunger. Over,
you can't pour from a kli sheni onto the coffee grounds. You can pour from a kli shlishi.
No, no, no. If you use a kli shlishi,
yeah.
So you do you
then you can do it. Then you're good. Yes. Well, she's in a kli shlishi, then you can pour it.
No, because you have to use the plunger and you're pressing them down. You're squeezing.
Oh, you're squeezing it out. That I don't know. Are you squeezing out in your plunger?
No.
Oh, just go. It's just there. Okay. Of course.
I don't know. But
yeah, I know what you're saying. So that should be okay. That should be what? What's a Melita filter?
A Melita filter. It's a plastic thing that you put a paper filter in, push coffee grounds in. Should make it drip.
I think you could. I think you could.
Yeah, but you don't have a cover over it the way Gene is describing the plunger on top as a cover. In the Molina, you don't have
right?
A cover.
Right. Okay, well, you have your chart here.
Yes.
All right, we'll stop here. But yeah, you should know how to fill in the part. Chart. Kli Rishon al Eish. Halacha is, can you put anything in the Kli Rishon al Eish? No. Kli Rishon not on the Eish?
No.
Also pretty much no. Irei Kli Rishon. So we didn't do the Tosfos. Irei Kli Rishon is Mavasel Kedei Klipa. This means it's Mavasel a tiny bit around the outside. But it still is Mavasel for Shabbos purposes. The only difference about Irei Kli Rishon that I can think of is you can pour hot water onto a baby bottle. Why? Because the pouring hot water, the bottle of a plastic doesn't cook.
Mm-hmm.
So you're heating the outside, that's Mavasel Kedei Klipa, that will be permitted. And the inside is not a problem. Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, except for those things that are Kale Habishel. And liquid is not Mevushel in a Kli Sheni. You could put liquid, like a bottle, inside another bottle into, in a Kli Sheni. And Kli Shisi, according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, is not Mevashel at all, doesn't cook at all, and that's how you make tea and coffee and all that kind of fun stuff. The thing I want you to come away with is, you have to be careful with pepper and spices on Shabbos. Because also, that happens a lot. And also, like challah in the soup and all things like that, to ascertain that it wasn't poured into the bowl, but that it was put with a ladle, and then you're all set. Okay? Topic for next week, anybody? Anybody have something they want me to talk about? Could you answer this week? Anybody? Anyone? Topic? Make one up? Anybody have one? Judge? Judge are hard. Okay.
How about the first day? Okay. Bandages and the...
Wow, I went over.